message from this pulpit is grace. What God did for us in eternity. Without any further ado, we thank God for the word of God through the vessel of Deacon Howard Gavin, the gospel of the grace of God. Again, Deacon Howard Gavin.
Hallelujah. We certainly praise God for his presence and for our being able to speak a word, amen, that he has grace unto us. Hallelujah. Let's have a word of prayer first. Now, righteous Lord our God and our Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, your mercy, your grace, your goodness, Lord, for the worship that's gone forth. And now, Lord, we thank you for your blessed word. Yes. Your spirit, Lord, illuminating and enlightening us to this truth, Lord, which is ours, that which we have according to who we are. Now, Lord, bless your people, not just in this venue, but everywhere, according to that which you has preordained and purpose regarding us, and indeed all things. Bless us as we go forward, Lord. Give enlightenment and understanding all over this globe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Continuing in election. We're not going to back away from it. We're not going to skirt it. Amen. We are going to scripturally affirm and confirm and exegetically confirm, that is, digging out, X out, the literal meaning of the scriptures, amen, regarding and particularly the grace scriptures. Yes, there's the law. Yes. Under Moses and Israel, there's the promise, and Abraham. There is human government under Noah. Mm-hmm. There is innocence and conscience under Adam. And there is kingdom under our Lord Jesus Christ, which when he came according to the flesh, they rejected him, rejected the king, so the kingdom was put on hold. But the kingdom, amen, will come according as God has preordained it. And we have the grace scriptures. We are in the grace dispensation. We are not under the law. We are under grace. We are not subjects of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are not subjects of the kingdom. Amen. But wheresoever Jesus is, we are. Yes. As he is, so are we. Right. Amen. And we have presence, amen, everywhere, but we are not relegated. Our place of abode is not the eternal earthly kingdom with New Jerusalem and all of its glory. It is not. We have more. And we are going to scripturally see what more we have than any of God's elect. We are talking again, speaking from God's sovereignty in election to salvation. God's absolute right, God's supreme power and authority in election or electing or choosing or making a choice of some, not all. Amen. It was not just God having in mind those that were going to be saved or having in mind those that were going to come. When you choose, you select. To those listening abroad, we in America are in our presidential election, and there are two candidates that are running for the primary office in this country. And when we go to the polls to vote, we elect or select one above or from the other. If we say, well, I don't want either of them, we walk in there, our ballot will be thrown out. But if we are going to go through the election process, we are going to elect or select one, and in very essence, selecting one, we are rejecting the other. And so God, He chose some, not all. Read Romans chapter 9. Amen. God chose, and He selected some, not others. Election is to something. It's to salvation. Amen. Salvation is our, get this word, eternal sonship relation or sonship position to God.
Yes.
In Christ, where we actually abide. Amen.
Yes.
We're going to see, amen, where we actually abide scripturally. We, amen, are spirit first. We were placed in bodies. Hebrews chapter 2, around the 14th verse. We were assigned bodies. But we are spirit children of God, our Father, just like our Father, who is eternal spirit.
Yes.
This is temporary. It come, it came, and it'll go. It'll pass. But we, in that regard, we like our earthly fathers. They came on the scene in the flesh, and they will, either before us or after us. Amen. Pass off the scene according to the flesh. But the scripture continually, as we shall see, as I ask Elder to turn with me and congregation and any looking in, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 1. And we are going to see one of the places, just one of the places, where God says that He's our Father. He is our Father. He's not flesh, He's spirit. He's not temporary, He's eternal. And just like we bear the impress of our earthly fathers, we pass on as they will pass on or have. We bear the impress of our spirit, eternal Father, who is God. We're not trying to grab eternal life, we have it. Let's look at the scriptures.
Thank you.
God's sovereignty in election to salvation. Elder Liverman, if you will, I want you to begin reading at Ephesians chapter 1, and as usual, read verses 1 and 2 in the King James Version, and then from 3 on through verse 7, I want you, Elder, to read, amen, the King James Version as well as the interlinear Greek text.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the first two verses, King James Version.
All right.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God.
Not one of the 12, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, just as the 12 were. Only he had a different primary constituency. The Lord pointed that out in Acts chapter 9. Amen. For he told Ananias, say, he shall bear my name before the Gentiles. That was the main thrust of his constituency, the Gentiles. Then he mentioned kings and then the children of Israel. But he began preaching to his fellow kinsmen and countrymen first, like we do. When the Lord enlightens us that we belong to him, we speak to, preach to, worry our kindred and close associates almost silly. Talking about this newfound joy in Jesus. All right. Read on, Ella.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
We are only faithful where we actually abide. In Christ.
Amen.
In Christ. Hallelujah. God, while we are in these bodies passing through, and I do mean passing through, quickly.
Yes.
Amen. We are not faithful in ourselves. God has to cause us to do that which is pleasing unto Him.
Amen.
And to act according to who we are in righteousness and according to His will. God has to cause that. This flesh will react upon you so fast it'll make your head swim.
Yes.
And it will be contrary to righteousness or the righteousness of God.
Yes.
The Lord has to enable and cause us, amen, to walk circumspectly before Him while we are abiding in the flesh. Else we'll react according to the flesh. All right, Elder, read on.
Verse 2. Grace to you.
Grace to you. And that's my main thrust. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace to you. Not to all, but grace to the saints at Ephesus and the faithful that are in Christ. Our actualized position is in Christ. Now, wait a minute. Before I go further, let me bring out two terms. The first term I want to share with you and give you light upon, as much as it God enables, is the term actualize or actualization. As an adjective, is actual. As a verb, is action or actualize in its action capacity. And as a noun, it's actualization. It means to bring into being or to cause to exist. It means existing as a fact or real, existing in the present, in the eternal present. It is not imaginary or bygone or passing away. It is actual.
Yes.
It's the real deal.
Yes.
The next term I want to share you with, God, He actualized everything, hallelujah, by a saying, or brought everything into existence, Hebrews 11:3, according to a saying. I know the King James have the word logos there, or word of God, but the actual rendering is remati or saying. Amen. Everything came about according to a saying of God. The ages were created according to a saying of God.
Glory.
I said the ages.
Yes.
That means the age long and everything in the longness or duration of the age.
Yes.
Everything. God had to bring it into existence. Every thought, every incident,
yes,
every move, everything.
Yes.
Every circumstance, God had to bring it into existence through a saying.
Mm-hmm.
He is limited in nothing. We are limited here in everything.
Yes. Oh, glory.
We can only jump so high, run so fast, hold our breath so long, hold so much in our mind or in our countenance.
Amen.
But God is unlimited in any or everything. Unlimited. Hallelujah. Got news for you. In our, here goes one of those words, in our actualized essence of who we actually are and where we actually, really, truly abide, we are not limited in anything either. We are members of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He is the head of the body, singular, the body. We are the body of, or that belong to Christ, our head.
Yes. Amen.
That's actual. That's the real deal. Praise God. I know it don't seem like it here. But we're just operating in physical earthly consciousness. Consciousness means awareness and knowing. And it's only for a short period. Then, when this body and the temporary earthly physical consciousness goes, then what will remain is what always was. Eternal consciousness and actualized presence where we actually abide, the body of Christ. Here in America, we allude to the Dorothy story in The Wizard of Oz. No matter what Dorothy did, after she was cracked on the head by a gate or a portion of a door or window framing, she woke up conscious-wise in Oz. She operated in Oz. She had fun in Oz. She had friends in Oz. She had pet ownership in Oz. She had indignation in Oz. She had fear in Oz. She had everything but a job. But she was operating consciously in Oz. And at the end of The Wizard of Oz, that's an American movie from 1939, I think it was. When all was said and done, she had been knocked unconscious. She was consciously in Oz, but she was actually in Kansas or home. How much more we? God give us earthly, physical, temporary consciousness to operate in time, in the time capsule, which is in eternity. And when these bodies expire, what is left is what was left with Dorothy. She was home the whole while. We are actually in the body of Christ. Spirit, not flesh, in Christ Jesus. Temporarily manifested, which is my next term. Temporarily manifested, temporarily manifested in bodies of clay. The next word is just that, manifestation. We have actualization, that which is actual, real, and true. The real deal. It doesn't go away. It is. And then we have manifestation. Manifestation is that which we see. We can see one another as we are manifested in fleshly bodies. That which we see, that which is revealed. Revealed by who? God, the Creator. He manifests to creatures and creation that which he has created by the one single saying, having brought all things into existence. Actualization is that which is, that which causes a thing to exist, or that which brings a thing into being or into existence. Manifestation is that which God shows creatures and creation. Manifestation. Actualization is, manifestation is what God shows for his purpose. For his purpose. All right, Elder, with that, let's go on. Verse 3, first from the King James, then from the interlineal Greek text.
Verse 3. Interlinear, King James. Blessed the God.
Blessed the God.
And Father.
Mm-hmm.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Who hath blessed us
mm-hmm.
with all every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ.
All right. From the interlinear elder, please.
Verse 3, interlinear mm-hmm. Greek text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us,
uh-huh.
Jesus Christ.
And Father of the Lord of us, the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, what?
The having blessed us.
The having blessed us. That is in what we call in aorist tense. The Bible, the original scriptures, the grace scriptures were not written in English. The English language, when these scriptures were penned, and when this revelation of the mystery was given to the Apostle Paul, the English language, as we know it, was not in existence.
Amen.
The Greek language is what God used. And Greece was not the nation in power. It was Rome. The predominancy of the scriptures, the grace scriptures, amen, God put them in pen through men in the Greek language. Mm-hmm. So if we want to get to the root or the crux of what the scriptures is saying to us, we go to the original language. We don't go there to be or to become. We go there to be informed of who we are.
Yes, amen.
What we can expect. Where we actually abide. What we have. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to that. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us, aorist tense, completed action. We are already blessed. With what, elder?
With every blessing spiritual.
And that is singular.
In the heavens in Christ.
So it would be each and every blessing spiritual. Your stuff is not in the bank. Sorry. Your stuff is not even in your house. It's on loan. If you think it's not, give it another 20, pin on our age. 40, 60, 80 years. We'll see how much is ours. Either it'll part from us in the flesh, or we'll part from it. But we have each and every blessing spiritual. Where, elder? Again, where?
In the heavenlies.
In the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies?
In Christ.
The heavenlies are in Christ. Ours is in the heavenlies. And all the heavenlies and all creation is in Christ. Spirit. And we are spirit body members of Christ. We are of Christ. He's the head. You ever seen a head operating without the body, or the reverse, a body operating without the head? He is the head. We are him. We are Christ and Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We are not our own. Not even a little bitty bit. We are the body of the Creator in whom all creation is, Christ. Temporary. The stuff we use, temporary. But we are eternally, eternally Christ and his body. Read on, Ella.
The heavenlies in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4. As he chose us in him.
I tell you what, Ella, from now on, let's go with the interlineal.
Okay. Verse 4. As he chose us in him.
As he chose us in him. He picked us out. He selected us. He did not just have us in his mind, as some contend. God chose us, selected us, and in our being selected, others were rejected. I'll go to Romans 9 and show it to you. Next time. Start that again, Ella. According
as he chose
us
in him,
not them, in him,
before
foundation of world,
to be us holy and unblemished.
To be or being us holy and unblemishable.
Before him. In love.
Who it counts. And in love. Before whom it counts. We are separated and without a spot. You mean to tell me all that I've done in these many years and I'm unblemished? In your, here we go with those words again, those two terms, in your actualized essence, who you actually are, where you actually abide. There is no sin in Christ or his body, which is him. None. No sin. I point out where sin is. And when this is gone, your trek, your partnership of sin is over. We will consciously, we already are, we will consciously abide where we have never left, where we actually are in Christ. The scriptures never talk about us going to be in Christ. It is always present indicative in Christ. Indicative mood in the Greek is a fact. And a fact is from the Latin, the word fact is from the Latin word factum. I will use the Latin this one time. Factum, which means a thing that's done. You're not on your way to heaven. You're not trying to be his. You're not trying to get saved. You were chosen in him before foundation or creation of the world. Being holy or being separated, the choice separated us. We're his in love with all of our faults, with all of our baggage. Who do you think placed you in a body of sin for his purpose? God assigned it to us. Christ took on a body for the manifestation of dying for and bearing our sins according to the flesh. And we were assigned bodies, amen, for identification, God's purpose of identifying with him whom we are. Mm-hmm. Identification means to be the same in testimony while we're in the flesh. In testimony, God causes us to identify with who we are. We can't do it to save our life on our own. We're going to mess up in an hour or 2 hours or in 6 hours or 12 hours or 40 days out, we are going to falter. But in Christ, where we actually abide, no sin. Amen. Read next verse, Elder. In love,
predestinated us.
Having, aorist tense. It's already done, it's finished. In love, having, everything is in completion. Let me go through this again. Why do you suppose the angel in the book of Revelation, the later chapters of Revelation, it speaks that the angel put one foot on the earth, and the other foot on the sea, and stretched his hand to him that liveth forever and ever, God, and said, there shall be time no more. Time is a creation of God for testimony. Testimony is evidence of what God wants to show and reveal to creatures and creation. That's the only purpose for time. That's its only purpose. When its purpose is done, the angel said it. Time will be no more use for it. We have absolute righteousness, the elect of God. We have eternal righteousness. Yes, with all your faults. And you probably still don't have as many as I do. Read on, Elder.
Thank God. Having predestinated us to adoption of sons.
To adoption of sons.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
To him.
To him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him.
According to the good pleasure of the will of him. We just don't know who we are. And who we are is not according to us. We were graced, chose, picked out, selected. Son position. Read on, Ella.
To the praise of glory.
He did it.
Of the grace of him.
He did it regarding us to the praise of the glory of his grace. Yes, all the baggage were placed on Christ. We're going to see it. Come on, Elder.
I'm ready. Of which he favored us.
Of which he
in
graced
the,
us in
the having been loved.
The having been loved. You've been loved. Lord have mercy, Jesus. We were loved before we knew it. When I was drinking cheap wine, wine, do you think I knew that I was loved from eternity? Just because we don't know a thing does not make it not exist. I didn't know I belonged to the Lord when I had my Superfly weave in 73 in my head and the gold on the front of my tooth in the shape of a diamond, mind you. You think I thought I knew that I was loved of the Lord? I didn't know it. Because we don't know a thing does not make it not a reality. He revealed himself unto some. Let me get this straight. I don't ever want to shortchange this. God does not have to reveal himself to all of his elect. We were chosen in him before the foundation or creation of the world. The babe that dies in infancy, how much would that resonate to his psyche? Hardly. I mean a little babe. The mentally incompetent, how much will that resonate to his psyche? Hardly. But irregardless, we were chosen in him before creation. And if it was before creation of the world, it definitely was before creation of this year. Before. All right, we're going to see after a while. Finish that, Ella, to verse 7.
Verse 7. In whom we have
in
the
whom?
Redemption.
I told you where we were.
In through whom? The blood of him.
In whom? Where we are. Where we actually abide. In whom? Christ. We have redemption. What else?
Through the blood of him.
We have redemption through the blood of him. We don't have to go out and repent. The Lord works repentance in us. We don't have to repent to become. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Our repentance is part of our identification, or repenting from, oops, I didn't mean to say that. Certain things, certain acts, oops, I didn't mean to do that. That is part of God causing us to identify with who we are. Mm-hmm. We don't have to repent to be nothing. We don't get saved. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Seven again, Elder, please. In whom?
Verse 7. In whom we have the redemption.
We have it.
Through the blood of him.
Through the blood of him, Christ.
The forgiveness of trespasses.
Oh, my God. And you see, it didn't put an amount on there, did it? It said the forgiveness of trespasses.
According?
All of them. All of them.
That's right.
The forgiveness. We have it. We bear Christ's righteousness, which is perfect. We are accepted of God. We are grace in the beloved. No sin there. No sin in our actualized essence. None. None. I don't care who you've been wanting to get even with or kick. That is not part of our actualized essence, which is spirit, and we are members of the body of Christ. That buck stops and stays here. We have perfect righteousness. We have been forgiven all of our sins. Amen. There's no sin in the body of Christ where we actually abide. None. None. All right. I want to share with you now from a document that Lord gave our pastor, and I'm still at the bottom of it. Ella, read verse 6 again. Read verse 6 of that first chapter of Ephesians again.
Verse 6. To praise of glory of the grace of him.
Of the grace of our God and Father.
Of which he favored us.
He favored or graced us.
In the having been loved.
In the having been loved. You're not loved because of what you do or what you say. You were loved before creation. Before creation. And certainly before the created entity of time. Time is just for testimony only. According to this promise, reading, the thought conveyance would be that God grace his glorious grace unto us, not them. Them are the non-elect or the non-chosen. In the beloved. Note the Greek word translated beloved is a participle. A participle is a verbal adjective, a verb that describes, which is in the perfect tense in the Greek. God chose the Greek language. I didn't. The perfect tense in the Greek language, which God chose and rejected the Latin language for our grace scriptures, completed action in the past with continuous results. When you were in your folly, you belonged to him. When you were in any denial, you belonged to him. Say, well, I didn't know it. What difference does that make with the Almighty? He reveals himself to some. Bless his name. Is a participle, a verbal adjective, which is in the perfect tense, completed action in the past with continuous results. And look at this here. It's in the passive voice. Passive voice, indicative of something one receives and you did not get it. or you did not do. It was given. It was bestowed. The implication is that from eternity's past, Jesus has and continues to be the beloved one. Now, you remember where we abide? We are his body from eternity. We are Christ's body.
Yes, amen. Thank God.
Continues to be the beloved one in whom we actually abide. It is striking that in this verse, it is applied to, we note the adjectival description applied to Jesus Christ, but in three other verses of Scripture, it is applied to believers or the elect, us. Colossians 3:12, 1 Thessalonians 1:4, and 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Oh, what a remarkable example as we continually praise God for his glorious grace, which he has graced to us through imputation of the merit of Jesus Christ. We couldn't do enough and say enough to merit God's eternal grace. Imputation. It has been, as an accounting term, it has been accounted or put to our account. His righteousness to our account. Our sins, all of them, all your life, have been put to his account. That was done in eternity before the creation of the world. We were chosen in him before the foundation of creation of the world. The merit, the worth of Jesus, which in turn has made it possible for us to also become, remember the perfect tense, having become beloved ones. From the exegesis of proper translation and interpretation of these verses as well as others, we believe that they provide undeniable evidential documentation that the total work of salvation was initiated, implemented, and culminated in eternity, a period when God was alone. Thus, we believe that it is impossible to apportion any contribution of these glorious decrees and acts to anyone outside of God. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians, as we mentioned one of those scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Beginning verse 13. We're talking about God's sovereignty, his absolute right in election to salvation, in choosing some and rejecting others. When you elect, you also select. That means of necessity, you choose one or some and not others. Like we're going to do in November. You go in there putting, I want him and her, and see what happened to your ballot. It will hit, it will be thrown out so fast, the ink will fly. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound, obligated to thank the God always, he writes to these Thessalonian saints, concerning you brothers or fellow believers, having been and are loved, that's what we just read, perfect tense and the passive voice. Perfect tense is a completed action, and the only way you can have a completed action that was always completed is in eternity,
yes,
where there's no beginning, no end, and no sequencing.
Yes.
Having been loved, and not only that, our love. You mean after what I told that girl the other day, I'm still, yes, God will cause you to do better.
Amen.
Sometime he overrules this boy for his glory and purpose, and sometime he let that rascal run amok for his purpose. But he is always, ever in absolute and complete control.
Yes.
If you belong to the Lord, you can't do your thing every time you feel like it to save your life. God is faithful. Hallelujah. He is more than the sin nature. He is more than every entity in creation. He is Almighty God who happens to be your eternal, eternal spirit father. Having been and are loved by Lord, because, here's why, you haven't been in our love. Because chose you the God. Now this is an indicative aorist. They have a rule going around in certain circles of linguistic authority according to the Greek that say if it's not in the indicative mood, then reject it. But what are you going to do with the aorist tense when the aorist means a completed action? Whether it's on the subjunctive or indicative or other case. Indicative aorist. Chose you the God. In eternity, you were selected. That's what we just read in Ephesians chapter 1. Chose you the God, first fruit of portion to salvation. We are above all of the other elect of God. You know why? Because of who we are. We are members of Christ's body. He is Lord over all. He will rule over the nations and Israel that are saved according to Israel's salvation, and we are his body. So what do you think we'll be doing? No. We are in him. And all creation is in him. Chose you, God, first fruit or first portion to salvation. We have the preeminent position of all of God's elect. Even David, even Abraham. We have the preeminent position because of who we are. Members of Christ's body. To salvation and sanctification of spirit. Setting apart for him, to him, and faith, that is belief and trust and conviction of truth or truthfulness. Now, it's not your faith. Philippians 1:29. Hello, Asia, Africa, everywhere. Philippians 1:29. It hath been given, that is to us, on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. It has been given. It's not our faith that God acts upon in our salvation. He has delivered it unto us in believing. And the babe and the mental incompetent, they're not relegated to having to believe. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, being holy and without any blame before him whom it counts in love. Verse 14, to which also he called you. That's a little bit more than just being in the mind of God, wouldn't you say? He called, aorist tense again, completed action. The only place you can have a completed action that was always completed is in eternity. It don't jump from a completed action to a starting action or any other kind of action. If it's complete, it's complete. It was always completed. And the only venue for always completedness is eternity, where we actually abide. He called you through the gospel of us, Paul said, he and those ministers that were with him. We were called in eternity, and the gospel by which we were called was manifested 2,000 years ago. But the actual of it was in eternity. God spoke it into existence. Yes. That we would be called by the gospel that was hid from ages and from generations. Why was it hid from ages and generations from all those brethren, Abraham, Noah, and the like? Because it was not for them. It's for our direction. It tells who we are. They are not, they are the elect of God, but they are not the body of Christ. They are not. They have their place in the eternal earth, blessing eternally. But we have the heavenlies, all of creation, not just earthly or New Jerusalem.
Thank you, Jesus.
All creation, eternal bliss is ours because of who we are. The gospel of us, they were called. Eternal call, end time manifestation. When Paul received the mystery from our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, he was told who to primarily give the gospel to. Primarily Gentiles. To the obtainment. We didn't get it. Obtaining is a verb. Obtainment is a noun. And this Greek word is a noun. So it is to the obtainment. Thank you, Lord. Of the glory of the Lord of us. And it even names him. Jesus Christ. Therefore, superordinating conjunction. Then, another superordinating conjunction, two right side each other. That means listen up, because here it comes. Superordinating conjunction. Therefore then, brethren, since you are who you are, from an eternal call, stand fast or stand firm and also hold fast. The traditions or teachings, it's never incumbent. Nothing is ever totally incumbent upon us. The teachings which you were taught according to eternal decree. Everything regarding us and regarding everything is in the eternal decree of God. Hebrews 11 and 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were created, or the ages were created, by a saying of God. All of the ages, all of them and everything in them. The Lord of us, Jesus, therefore stand fast. Hold fast the traditions, that which we were taught. Whether, Paul said, through the teaching or through an epistle. Of us, stand fast, because it's in the indicative aorist and the passive voice. We don't do it. God has to enable it. Amen. All of it. All of it. And himself, the Lord of us. You're getting ready to name him again. Jesus Christ. And even God the Father of us. Please don't ever try to separate the Godhead into three gods. The disciples asked Jesus one time, say, show us the Father and it suffices us. Jesus didn't say, Watch it, watch it, watch this guy. Poof, there he is, there he is. No, he did not. He didn't say, wait here and I'll go get him. He said, have I been so long time with you, and yet has thou not known me? the same way. We are actually members of Christ's body. We are Christ. The head is not without his body. Just like in the flesh, first in the spirit. So, 17. May he, having comforted you, the hearts, and also strengthen, that is fix or set up, that is always. Now, this is a prayer. It's in the octave mood, so it's a prayer, but it's in the aorist tense. Everything regarding us and regarding everything was predetermined by a saying, preassigned by a saying. If you only got $1 million, that was pre-assigned to you. Quit crying. Just loan me something. May he, having comforted of you the hearts, and also strengthen, aorist tense, in each and every work and word good, that is useful, fitting, sound, just, kind, generous. God has to enable that.
Yes.
As we, sooner or later, subject to say something and get the oops, oops. God has to enable our speech,
yes,
our actions, our thoughts. But you are never away from him. All of our sins, as we saw in Ephesians 1 and 7, he bore all of our sins. And we bear all of his righteousness. We are him. We are members of Christ's body. I'm going to read something to you that the Spirit gave me to write. I dare any of you or me to fall into any extreme problems or trouble or anxiety or discouragement or fear, etc., that the Lord won't manifest. It's already decreed. Your comfort, your encouragement, and your glory is already in existence.
Yes.
Our glorification.
Yes.
The Lord won't manifest the comfort, the strength, the help, the enablement, the love to you and me and all those that are his beloved.
Amen.
You don't have a thing to worry about. I don't have a thing to worry about. We're not trying to get eternal life. We're not trying to get to heaven. We have eternal life, and we are actually in the heavenlies in Christ right now. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.